Shadow Falls Badlands. The story so far. Galen has rescued the woman he died to save, but she remains unconscious after the ordeal. He places her in the back of the wagon and continues onward, searching for the trail that will take him east on his journey. Later, when he stops for the night, he realizes that each time he returns from death, his memory is altered, sometimes allowing him to see parts of his past that were previously hidden. This time, he's able to remember exactly what happened to him back in Sagebrush, Texas, along with the appearance of the man who visited him in his cell the night before his hanging. Chapter 14. Cyril rode until the mid-afternoon sun vanished behind the dark gray storm heads that had been threatening since morning. The road from Kansas City had been swift, and he fixated upon his task with all the focus his renewed energy could muster. There was little doubt in his mind the master he served would indeed reward him for completing the work he had begun so long ago. For as far as Cyril knew, the master's dawn had finally arisen. Ending Galen Altos was what was now standing in the way. Cyril tried not to be frustrated over all the times he had been so close to Altos all those years ago in the war. Within arm's reach, in fact. All the times he could have easily killed Galen, but had been prevented from doing so by the one he served. However, the reason still perplexed Cyril, for it was the master who had originally given him the word that he was only to observe Galen, for it was not known how strong Altos's powers truly were. And during all that time he had observed, Cyril had not once seen a single hint at all that Galen even had any powers whatsoever. It was only by way of Dunbarton's surprise correspondence that Cyril realized Galen had somehow survived the conflagration at the church in Juarez. And now, in Cyril's mind, it had sunk in that he'd made a grave mistake in underestimating Altos and letting him get away. Cyril shuddered at the thought of what the master would do to him if he found out Altos was still alive, though it seemed highly unlikely he wouldn't already know, for the master obviously knew plenty about Galen. But why wouldn't he have said something? Cyril wondered. It was not his place to question, but there had always been something about the master's handling of Altos that seemed puzzling. A carefulness, he thought. Even so, Altos's survival was worrisome, though Cyril had successfully hunted down and dispatched several men and women at the behest of his master, never once questioning his orders. It was this single failure he feared would not only lead to his being held back from his final reward, but to his facing merciless and unspeakable retribution at his master's own hands. The mere thought was enough to make Cyril get back upon his horse in the rain to continue pushing forward. Within an hour, the feeling he'd been seeking since leaving Kansas City had begun to sprout inside him like a compass needle finding its bearing. There was no doubt. He was definitely on Galen's trail once more. He could sense it. As Cyril came down the road toward the abandoned farmhouse, he felt the scent of Galen's proximity grow with each step his steed carried him. The very moment he entered the long-abandoned dwelling, Cyril knew Galen had been here shortly after fleeing from Kansas City. The scene he could see in his mind was clear as day. Altos had spent the night here, huddled in front of the hearth, trying to keep warm. No, Cyril thought. That wasn't it. He held his hands out, trying to further divine what the room was attempting to tell him. Galen's imprint by the hearth was indeed quite strong. With his bare hands, Cyril fished around through the cold ash in the hearth, unsure of what he was looking for. But when his fingers closed around the hard orb, a feeling like daggers of ice stabbed through his body. Cyril pulled his hand from the hearth and found himself trembling at what was in his fingers. There in his hand was the petrified eye, the same one Cyril knew had come from some ancient creature that roamed the earth long before he had. And as Cyril's gaze fell into the unavoidable pull of the eye's milky white iris, he was suddenly aware of the other connection this horrid object had between Galen Altos and Major Dunburton. "That old fool," thought Cyril. It pained him to think Dunburton had no idea of the true cursed nature of the eye. Like most mortal men who had heard of it and attempted to possess it, the Major had no real idea of its province. Quickly, the vision changed to show someone Cyril could only identify as a gypsy, and though it seemed highly unlikely, she had knowledge of Galen. Through the actions he could see that she had made, Cyril was certain this old woman somehow understood exactly what Galen was. And then, as he saw in the eye how Galen crudely killed her, Cyril was dumbstruck, because it was obvious Galen himself was still completely oblivious to his own identity. Which would explain certain things, Cyril finally reckoned, especially why the master himself had been led to doubt Altos was even a threat. How could the master be deceived? Cyril puzzled. And as he tried to pry his gaze from the eye, the cursed object began to show him something. A flash of what could only be an event in the future. What he was seeing sent a wave of terror through Cyril's body. From his shaking hand fell the eye, where it hit the floor and stopped, without a single bounce. Without a moment's hesitation, Cyril left the abandoned house and the eye behind, as quickly as his feet could carry him. He was no more than a few yards out the front door, when from behind him came the voice. "You disappoint me," it said coldly. Cyril turned slowly as to not provoke. There, standing before him in the house's ramshackle doorway, was Miles Lawton, and though the appearance he always took in front of Cyril was that of a young boy, the coyote was no less dangerous now than in his natural form. Cyril dared not show hesitation in his submission to the boy. He lowered his eyes as Miles Lawton approached.
"The way you held that wretched thing," the boy said with an air of disgust. "You stood there, trembling like a scared girl."
Cyril made a great deal of effort to choose his words very carefully. "The eye is cursed. It's a fool's toy of madness and folly," he said. The boy stooped down to pick up a small stone that he rolled in his hand.
"They've said similar things about that petrified relic for," his voice momentarily trailed off, "for longer than you can imagine," he finally finished.
The boy arced his arm back and threw the small stone away from the house.
"Tell me, Cyril," he said, "what exactly did you see in the eye? What truths did it reveal to you?"
"I saw Altos," answered Cyril. He focused his mind on the part of the vision he dared talk about, and tried at least for now to block out what he'd seen concerning the boy who stood in front of him. He told Miles about the gypsy's fatal encounter with Galen, and of his suspicion that Altos seemingly still had little idea of who he was, or where he'd come from.
"Of course not," hissed Miles, "which is why we must find him before he finally wakes up to the truth."
That would be easier said than done, thought Cyril. Galen had a head start consisting of several weeks.
"Why did you not tell me that Altos was still alive?"
asked the boy. "I didn't even know until," Cyril said, realizing any answer would appear as just an excuse, as a sign of weakness. "Because I didn't know," he finally said. It was an admission he believed would draw the least of the master's ire. "I'm pretty certain I can track him from here," Cyril said quickly. "If my gut tells me correctly, Altos headed to Mexico. He's got a soft spot for those people."
"I would say that's a pretty good guess," Miles responded, But not too long ago, a man was hanged in a small Texas town who fit the description of the man you are looking for.
But he's not dead.
What do you think?
Barked the boy.
He picked up another small stone and tossed it against the side of the house.
The town was dealt with, he said.
And Altos?
He's gone east, and now you must find him.
And then?
Follow him, said Miles. You'll get instructions how to deal with him later.
Cyril nodded, trying his best to hide the uncertainty he was feeling for the first time. He had served solely at the boy's pleasure, hunting down the enemies of the coyote and taking care of them. On many an occasion, his duties included extracting information using methods suggested by Miles himself, methods using sharp implements and fire on soft flesh. Tasks he found himself quite good at due to his ability to tune out the screams of his victims. Before the war, he had personally taken away a family at gunpoint because Miles had told him of his wish to do so. He had taken the mother and father, both bound and gagged, and forced them to watch in utter horror as he slew their two young daughters, his knife cutting into the young girl's flesh slowly and methodically. Afterwards, the man and woman had willingly given up their secrets before suffering the same slowly drawn-out fate as their children. They were but one example of the tool of death Cyril had become in the name of the coyote, a task he had taken on with the ultimate hope that his loyalty and service would eventually win him his release. But it was the strange treatment of Galen Altos that Cyril now questioned. During the war, it had only been after Galen had gone AWOL that he'd been given Miles' blessing to hunt him down with whatever force necessary. Though it now occurred to Cyril that it was possible the boy had only done so to test both of them. At first, Cyril had thought the boy was just being cautious of an unknown enemy, but now with the news that Miles had taken vengeance on the townsfolk who had hanged Altos, it seemed like the boy was protecting Galen for some unknown reason. And given the last vision the eye had shared with him, Cyril's unwavering belief in the beast who chose to appear to him as this innocent young boy was not the same as it once was.
Altos was delayed for 3 weeks in that wretched town while awaiting his execution, then spent the next month on foot. With a stout horse, you can catch up to him in a week's time,
Miles said assuredly.
He is headed east.
Cyril felt a familiar shudder.
He is headed to Shadow Falls, where he will meet his destiny,
said Miles before turning and walking away from the house. Cyril mounted his horse and rode south. He'd head to Texas, to the small town where the coyote had brought his own brand of death. And there he'd pick up Galen's trail again. And if Miles had been correct that Altos had been on foot, he would catch up to him in short time indeed. The day grew long as Cyril rode, but his mind never wandered once from the thoughts needling him from deep inside. He had blindly followed the master ever since Miles had resurrected his forgotten bones from the woods, bones that on some cold nights could still feel the teeth of those yellow-eyed beasts gnawing on them. He will never release you, Cyril's mind told him. It was true he had begun to question the master. He thought of the eye, now hidden in his saddlebag, and the apparent truth of what the cursed object had revealed to him.
He is headed to Shadow Falls, where he will meet his destiny, he heard Miles' voice echo in his head.
And apparently, boy, Cyril thought to himself, where you will meet yours. And that's chapter 14 of Shadow Falls Badlands. What did Cyril see in the eye, and what is he planning to do about it? But more importantly, what does Miles have planned for Galen? Questions, comments, send them to me at shadowfalls@podshowla.com. BadlandsPodcast.com. Big thanks to Kevin Reeves and Ian Baird for the Badlands Part 2 theme song, Redemption, which you can find at music.podshow.com. Chapter 15 coming soon, so stick around. Until then, this is Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov fading to black.
Wake up in a small town, just another day. I see the sun, the day's begun. Now I'm on my way. So many dusty roads have run down, searching for this place. Well, I've chased the miles and faced the trials, no matter what it takes. Gotta try before I never gave a damn. The anger boils, the gun recoils, spilling blood upon the land. When I saw the road ahead, man, I didn't like the view, so I turned around. But all I found were deceptions born anew. But I'll judge all. Let's switch for mode.